إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. بعد my dear brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we are off to Sylhet to the tea garden inshallah in a little while and to see the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have 10 years of tea in India and never seen tea in Bangladesh, so inshallah looking forward to that. On the subject of da'wah, we look at the incident of Rasulullah sending Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu anhu to Yemen, which I mentioned yesterday in more detail, because that's a beautiful illustration of the principles of da'wah according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi gave Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu anhu three instructions. He said, "You are going to a people of the book." Now this itself illustrates that the atmosphere in Yemen was not hostile to Islam. The atmosphere was welcoming, as today we see in most Christian countries, where the atmosphere to Muslims is welcoming. We are allowed to come there, we are allowed to live there, we are given citizenship without any qualification, without any reservation, without any discrimination. We are allowed to build masajid, we are allowed to conduct our dawah activities, we are allowed to admit ourselves and take admission into any of the universities. We pay the same rates in the hospitals, everything. I mean, there is no discrimination against Muslims as Muslims according to the laws of the land. I'm not saying there is no discrimination in terms of how some racist people might behave towards Muslims, and this is the reality of life. But the law is just, and the law is fair, and the law is equal to everybody. Sadly, you know and I know that we can't say this about our own Muslim countries, where the laws are, in many cases, neither just nor fair, and obviously not Islamic. So, in Yemen, this was the case, where Muslims were not discriminated against and they were welcomed. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this and he said that you are going to a land of the people of the book. And then see the three instructions he gave Mu'ad bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. He said, present Islam to them. He didn't say argue with them. He didn't say debate with them. He didn't say call their aqidah bad. He didn't say tell them that they are on falsehood. He didn't say call their leaders and their bishops and their priests to a debate and own them on stage and destroy them and humiliate them in public. He didn't say any of that. Now this doesn't mean that the aqidah of the Christians is correct. It is not correct. It is the aqidah of shirk. It's a false aqidah. But the issue is, when you are giving da'wah, what do you focus on? You can focus on what is wrong or you can focus on what is right. That's your choice. Now, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam very clearly is saying, focus on what is right, which is the Islamic aqidah. So he said, present Islam to them. And then, he didn't say convince them, force them. He says, present Islam to them if they accept. So there is a chance that some will accept and some will not accept. And this is the reality of life. He said, if they accept. He said, if they accept, then what do? You draw them to the action which demonstrates Islam. If they accept La ilaha illallah, if they accept there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the messenger and the last and final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu, then what do? Show them the manifestation of that in action, which is, he said, invite them to salah. Teach them salah, teach them how to pray, because the salah is the physical manifestation of the belief which is in the heart. The salah is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There's no one worthy of worship except Allah, therefore I worship only Allah. And how do I do that? According to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," pray as you have seen me pray. The salah is the physical manifestation of tawheed wa risalah. It is the physical manifestation of ubudiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ummah being the ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the physical manifestation of the kitab wal sunnah. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if they accept the creed, if they accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his messenger, as his rasul, then invite them to salah. And then he said, when they start praying, then tell them to pay zakat and take the zakat from their wealthy and give it to their poor. Now see the wisdom of this beautiful methodology. You are talking to them about the fundamental of deen, which is tawhid or risala. You're calling them to salah, which is the tawhid wa risala in action, which leads to inshaAllah Jannah in the akhirah. And then you are calling them to pay zakat, you're calling them towards charity. And the charity, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say take the money from the rich and send it to Medina. He didn't say take the money from the rich and you use it to build your palace. He said take the money from the rich and give it to their own poor. He didn't say take the money from their rich and send the money to the poor of some other place. No. He said take the money from their rich and give it to their own poor. Now think about this. He didn't even say give it to the poor Muslims. He said give it to their poor. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu is going there first. Obviously the majority of the population or all the population is non-Muslim. So when he's taking money from the rich, those rich Muslims who accept Islam, those rich people who accept Islam and become Muslims, he's taking money from them and giving it to the poor. Who are the poor? Anybody. So he is, Nabi SAW gave him this instruction. Now think about this. In any society, the poor will always outnumber the rich. Anywhere in the world, that is how it is. The poor always outnumber the rich. Today we are living at a time when this has gone to an extreme where literally, last survey that I read, 60, and this is a UNDP survey, 62 people, not percent, number, 62 people own more wealth than the bottom 50% of people in the world. Now think about that. This is the kind of extreme we have. So in any society, the rich will always outnumber the poor. So also in Yemen. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, take the money from the rich and give it to the poor. Now when in any society, when the rich outnumber the poor, the rich surround themselves with barriers, with boundaries, mostly for their own safety, because they don't want to come in contact with the poor. The poor are people in need. The rich are people who have more than they need. So therefore, between the haves and the have-nots is a wall. Now when you and that wall produces resentment. So in all societies, the rich are few, the poor are more. There are boundaries between the rich and the poor, which are boundaries of safety for the rich. The poor have no boundary of safety, and the poor resent the rich, and they resent the fact that those people have wealth and we don't have wealth. This is a standard formula, human psychology, anywhere in the world, any culture, any nation. Rasulullah ﷺ is going, he's addressing that, and he's converting that into an advantage for da'wah. He's saying, take the money from their rich and give it to the poor. So now when the poor get the money, they know this money has come from the rich. They know that this money has come from the rich because the rich became Muslim. Because at the same time, they have their rich who are not Muslim, who are not giving this charity, who are not giving zakat. Their rich who were not Muslim for generations never gave that zakat. They gave a tithe, one-tenth of their income, they went to the church. And the church got wealthier and wealthier, and bishops they started wearing fur and ermine and gold and diamonds. But the poor remained poor. And they know this, the poor people of the world, everybody knows this, that this is what happened. Money went to the church. Here, the money is not going to the church. The money is not going to the masjid. Mu'adh bin Jabal, radiallahu anhu, is not taking the money. The money is not going to Muhammad or Rasulullah. The money is coming back to us. Those here are the rich people who never gave us anything, but now the moment they became Muslim, they start giving us money. They start helping us. They start being compassionate towards us. They start helping us in our difficulties. So this Islam must be a great thing, because I am seeing and tasting the benefit of Islam even though I am not Muslim. And this is the benefit of Islam, and that is absolutely clear, because we know our own history, that these are the people who would never have done it if it wasn't for the fact that they became Muslim. So here Rasulullah ﷺ is taking this situation of disparity between rich and poor, and which is a disadvantage, and he's converting that disadvantage into an advantage, into a means of leverage for the benefit of Islam. What a beautiful method. No fighting, no argument, no debate, no nothing, no sword, no army. Mu'adh bin Jabal went alone. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't send him with an army. And the whole of Yemen became Muslim, and till today it is Muslim. Some of the most beautiful Muslims of the world come from Yemen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you want to see the Sunnah, if you want to see Muslims as they were in the time of the Sahaba when the Quran was revealed, see the people of Yemen. Now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them. Today they are in all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of turmoil. May Allah protect them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defeat their enemies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from their enemies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from suicide, because this is suicide. This is Muslims killing Muslims. There's nothing worse than that. Muslims were sent to do good to the whole world. Muslims are not sent to kill anybody. But here Muslims are killing Muslims. I mean, this is absolutely, totally, completely, disgustingly shameful. So we must be very clear about that. So now, here is the Da'wah methodology. Tawheed wa Risala, manifestation of that, action on it, acting on it, and then Zakat, which you take from the rich and give to the poor. Today we have many countries where the rich Muslims, they pay zakat, they pay a very good amount of zakat, alhamdulillah, the generous people. And that zakat is then sent off out of that country into some other country. Now, I'm not saying this is haram. This is, alhamdulillah, Muslims, we live in a global environment where national boundaries on maps are not binding on us. We have the freedom to send money wherever we like. But the method of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was send it to the people of your own country, the poor people of your own country first and foremost. If you, once you have satisfied that need, then you can send somewhere else. This was the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it makes huge sense. So now if you are in a country where you have got wealthy people and you've got a lot of poor people who are not even Muslim, and they are Muslims also who are poor, they are the first people who deserve your zakat. Not people in your so-called homeland, or not people in wherever else you might want to send the zakat to. Pay the zakat to the people, the poor people in your own country, because that is how you will win their hearts. That is how they will, instead of resenting you and resenting your wealth, they will bless you, and they will bless your wealth because they know that your wealth means their wealth. Your wealth means that their difficulties will get solved. Seriously, this is my sincere advice to my brothers and sisters in so many countries. If you look at Muslims, wealthy Muslims in America, in South Africa, in Australia, in other places, especially subcontinental people, Indians, Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, we seem to spend, and the UK as well, we seem to send almost all our zakat, or definitely a majority of it, back to India, to Pakistan, Bangladesh, instead of giving it to the poor people in the countries that we have lived in, countries which welcomed us, countries which treated us on par with their own people, countries which did not discriminate against us, countries from whom we benefited, and quite literally we owe our wealth to the fact that we are living in those countries. The same people, they came to those countries because they got kicked out of their countries directly or indirectly, and they could not survive in India or Pakistan or Bangladesh. And if they had remained there, they would have remained as dregs of humanity on the street. But instead of that, they went abroad and they made their wealth and they made their money in South Africa, in America, in Australia, in the UK and in other places. And then instead of that wealth benefiting the local people, that wealth gets sent off and shunted off here and there, back to India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, or to Palestine or wherever. I'm not against Palestine. People who know me should know this well enough. By all means, help Palestine. By all means, help other people. But the people in your own country deserve your help more than anybody else. And as far as I'm concerned, this is the dalil that we get from this beautiful hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu and the advice that Rasulullah ﷺ gave to him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to give da'wah and to present Islam in the best way possible, to change the hearts of people before you go to them, and to enable us to do things which benefit us and which please him Jalla Jalaluhu, and to save us from that which does not benefit. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.